Father, we are so thankful. We're thankful for your presence. And we're thankful for your word. We're thankful, O God, that we have the assurance of your love, that you are God whose very nature is love, and that there's no evil in you. Father, I pray, O God, you might continue to minister to us by your Spirit and through your word. Father, pray for a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Christ. We pray you might give us insights, that you might illumine your word to us, that you might cause faith to arise in our hearts to receive your word, and that, Father, you would just confirm your word in supernatural ways, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. We have been talking about the Holy Spirit and you. And I'm so thankful to the Lord that, you know, I'm alive in a time like this. As I reflect on the privilege we have in the New Covenant, you know, the Old Testament saints didn't have the Spirit at work amongst them as we do, and certainly didn't have the Spirit at work in them as we do. And so we are a privileged people. And we have been sharing about the different ways in which God reveals himself to us. Last week we talked about the Spirit being the river of God, and that wherever the river of God flows, there is life. It brings life. It brings healing. And then before, as we talked about the river of God as the fire of God that comes to empower us, comes to consume the chaff out of our lives, comes to give us passion and zeal. And before that, we talk about the river of God, we talk about the Spirit of God being the wind of God, the breath of God. Today, I want to talk about the Spirit of God as the anointing of God. The anointing of God. Turn with me, if you will, to Exodus chapter 30. Exodus chapter 30. And I'm going to read from verse 25. Exodus 30 and verse 25. I'm back to the NIV this morning. It says, make these before that, the verses before that, that given the ingredients that for the anointing oil. And here it says, make these into a sacred anointing oil, a fragrant blend, the work of a perfumer. It will be the sacred anointing oil. Then use it to anoint the tent of meeting, the ark of the testimony, the tables and all its articles, the lampstand and its accessories, the altar of incense, the altar of the burnt offering, and all its utilities, utensils, and the basin with its stand. You shall consecrate them so they will be most holy, and whatever touches them will be holy. Anoint Aaron and his sons, and consecrate them so they may serve me as priests. So here, as it's pretty straightforward, the Lord is giving some instructions to Moses about anointing things. And I remember several years ago, I was involved in a prayer group, and we were praying in a particular place, and we chose to anoint different things in that place. And one person asked me, where do you get this anointing thing from? What are you doing? And so I was able to lead them to this same passage here to show them that this is there's a precedence in Scripture from way back then. God could have just said, just build these things, just have these things, and just use them. But he chose instead to say, on top of building them and using them, anoint them with this anointing oil, which has a particular smell. It was fragrant. It was like a perfume. And as the things were anointed, they were consecrated to the Lord, sanctified to the Lord. In the Hebrew, they have different words for anointing. The most common one I put there, meshach, which means to anoint, to smear, to dab. And then the word for oil is shemen, which also means fatness. And so this is what the Lord was telling them to do. And this, by the way, gives you and me a context. If you want to anoint your house, I do that in my house. So that in my faith, I can say this house is dedicated to the Lord. So that the enemy knows that this house is dedicated to the Lord. Well, Tony was here Friday morning, and he came with his anointing oil, and he went around anointing this place. Others have done it before. So that the enemy might know that this house, this place as we gather, is dedicated to the Lord, and that we might know that, and the Lord might know that, so that he knows that we are saying, Lord, come into this place that we have set apart for you. So it was a practice. The tabernacle and all its contents were anointed and consecrated to the Lord, including the priests. In the Old Covenant, the priests were anointed, kings were anointed, prophets were anointed, the 70 elders that the Lord told Moses to set apart, they were also anointed. So leaders were anointed. Both those who knew God were anointed. And the word anointing can also be used for people that God wants to use, even though they're not saved, like Cyrus. God calls him the anointed one, not in the same way as he would call David, but basically saying, this is someone I've set apart to use for my purposes, which he did. He used Cyrus to allow Israel to return from exile and to help them to rebuild in the promised land. But turn with me, if you will, to Psalm 133. A short psalm, 3 verses. It's a psalm written by David. And verse 1 says, how good and pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity. It is like precious oil, precious shemen, poured out on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down upon the collar of his robes. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion, for there the Lord bestows, or Hebrew really means the Lord commands his blessing, even life forevermore. And so one of the things we need to realize, when things were anointed, when people were anointed in the Old Covenant, it wasn't just, you know, like what we do today, we have a little container like this, and we dip a little in our finger, you know, touch somebody on the head, which is fine. But it wasn't like that. They would use a ram's horn, and they'd fill it with oil, and they'd pour it down from the head, pour all of it down upon the individual who was being anointed. And here you get the description to run down Aaron's head, drawn his face upon his clothes. And as I was reading that, I'm like, oh Lord, anoint me like that. Lord, mess up my clothes if you need to. Mess up my hair, mess up my face with your precious Spirit of God. See, I want a fullness. I want all that he has to offer. That's what David said in Psalm 23. You anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. So it wasn't just a little dab, it was a real pouring out. And as you saw there in Exodus, the anointing oil that they used had a perfume smell to it. It filled the whole place. So no one could make a mistake. They would know that something has happened here. God has poured out his Spirit. And many times anointing would signify the coming upon people of the Spirit of God. 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 12 and 13. It's talking about David when Samuel came to anoint him. says, so he sent and had him brought in. He was ruddy, with a fine appearance and handsome features. Then the Lord said, rise and anoint him. He's the one. So Samuel took the horn of oil, the full horn, like a pitcher, and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day, the Spirit of God came upon David in power. So when people were anointed, the priests and the prophets and the kings, the Spirit of God would come upon the individual. And here it says about David that it came upon him in power. Something supernatural happened and continued to happen in the life of David because of the presence of God's anointing. You know, we in the present day church, we underestimate the value of the anointing of God. See? But I am of the conviction that there's really nothing much we can do without the very anointing of God. In fact, if you look at the life of Christ, you will see that before he started his ministry, the anointing of God came upon him. He went out after that for 40 days in the wilderness and came back, according to Luke 4, in the power of the Spirit. And he went into the temple and took the scroll and read from Isaiah and says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he has anointed me to do certain things, which we'll talk about soon. But even Christ himself, the sinless Son of God, had to be anointed to fulfill what God had called him to do. So if Christ needed that anointing, how much more do we need his anointing today to fulfill God's call and God's purposes in our lives? Because you see, the anointing enables us to serve God effectively. So Luke says in Acts chapter 10 and verse 38, it says, talking about Christ, oh, God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, and he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. So you and I, we need to have a desire to draw close to the Lord and a desire to have the anointing of God at work in us and through us. And that every time we would gather in the name of the Lord, that the anointing of God would be present. The power of God would be evident. This is not the, and there's nothing wrong with these folks, they're nice folks, but this is not the Lions Club. This is not the optimist organization. This is the church of the living God, where his presence, manifest presence, should be evident. Consecration to God will attract the anointing. So the Lord actually said of the priests that they should consecrate themselves first before Moses would anoint them. Before the priests were going across the Jordan, the Lord said, let them consecrate themselves. Let them separate themselves unto me. Because somehow the Spirit of God is attracted to places and to people that are consecrated and separated to him. He likes to be wanted. He likes to be needed. In the book of Revelation, there's a church called Laodicea. They're a very wealthy church. They had everything fine, everything smooth, had no real external issues. But the Lord said to them, behold, I stand at the door and knock. In other words, you can have everything so organized and so efficiently run that you really don't need the Lord. One famous preacher had said that most churches today, the Lord is absent, they wouldn't know the difference. Because they can do things in their own strength, and they are doing things in their own strength. And so in that church, the Lord was like, I'm on the outside knocking. I want to come in. And he's knocking. And he says, if any man hear my voice, in other words, he's not just knocking, but he's speaking. He said, let me in, let me, can I come in, can I come in? And so we can organize things and we can lock the Lord out of his own church. To me, that's one of the saddest commentary that you can have. But he wants to be in the midst of his people. So when we come and we worship, when we come and we ask him to come, it's not as if we're trying to get him to do something he doesn't want to do, because he wants to be amongst his people. He wants to come and have fellowship with us. He wants to come and cause his manifest presence to be experienced by everyone. So in Luke chapter 4, I'm going to read it again. I quoted it earlier. Luke 4, starting at verse 14. It says, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. And news about him spread throughout the whole countryside. He taught in their synagogues and everyone praised him. He went up to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom, and he stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And so Christ was aware of the fact that God had anointed him to accomplish these things, and he went about doing it, to preach the good news, to proclaim freedom and recovery of sight, to release people from bondage. We need the anointing to do these things. You see, you can preach the good news in your own strength, and it will be just like reading the news or reading another book. But if you preach the good news with the anointing, the Spirit of God, according to John, will come and bring conviction. We come and cause people to be aware of their own sinful state. The other things, obviously, you can't do without the Spirit of God. And the church, many parts of the church operate without the Spirit of God. So they don't see these things. And they conclude that God has stopped doing these things. They conclude that God has stopped healing because they don't look to God for the anointing for healing. So clearly he must have stopped. The people are oppressed and depressed. Depression is increasing in our society. And all some people can say to them in the church is, go and see your psychologist, go and see your psychiatrist, go and get yourself some medication. I'm not against medication, by the way. But I believe that there are some answers in the Lord that we, the church, need to be pursuing, that we, the church, need to be encouraging, that we, the church, need to lay hold of. We need his anointing. We need more of his manifest presence. The anointing of God will break yokes of people. Isaiah chapter 10 and verse 27. The Lord is speaking to his people. He says, in that day, their burden will be lifted from your shoulders, their yoke from your neck. The yoke will be broken because you have grown so fat. In the Hebrew, what you have there is the yoke will be broken because of the oil, because of the shemen, because of the anointing. That's what breaks the yoke in the lives of people. It's not the amount of nice sounding things I can say to them. It's them being able to lay hold, and us being able to lay hold of God's anointing and releasing it into their lives. So that's why Christ says, he has anointed me to bring freedom to the captives. And I've seen, and many of you have also, the anointing set people free. It's been amazing. I was just in September at Day Spring School of Ministry, ministering. And one of the young ladies, she was so excited to see me. She said, Pastor Joe, I was so glad when I heard that you were coming. And she shared her testimony. The year before that, at that same time, September, I was ministering there. And I was ministering, and I think when I, at the end, I prayed for people to receive God's blessing and the Father's blessing. But she said, when I prayed for her, she before that had a problem with pornography. Her name is Tiana. She had a problem with pornography. And from that very moment, an addiction to pornography was broken off her life. And she was testifying a year later. In other words, she had an entire year to verify that this thing was broken off her life. And that's why she was so excited to see me, because she wanted to let me know how the anointing of God brought freedom into her life. The anointing will break things off in the lives of people. Lady who came and, not this time in September, but before that, came and testified how she used to be in bondage to fear. And the night I prayed for her, that fear broke off her life. And she could come and testify to the transformation and the difference that the anointing has made in her life. I remember a few years back, a lady came up for prayer. She had pain in her back. And she came for prayer for her back. And we prayed for her. And she left. And we saw her sometime later, or heard from her sometime later. She didn't get healing in her back. But there was a certain addiction that she had that was broken off her that same time when we prayed for her. The anointing breaking the yoke and causing this lady to be able to walk in freedom and to testify concerning it. It's the anointing of God that we need to bring His people into the freedom that has already been purchased for them. So the anointing lifts burdens and breaks yokes. It brings joy and rejoicing. Psalm 45 and verse 6, the psalmist says, "Your throne, O God, will last forever and ever. A scepter of justice will be the scepter of your kingdom. You love righteousness and hate wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy." The same passage that Christ quoted out of Isaiah 61. You know, he quoted the first two verses of Isaiah 61. But it goes on to say in Isaiah 61 verse 3, "To provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of the spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of His splendor. And they will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations." It's talking about the same Spirit of the Lord. That's what it says in verse 1. "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me to do these things so that some stuff will occur." The anointing of God comes. You see, the picture I have here in verse 3 is people who are mourning and grieving because of their circumstances, because of situations. And so back then when they were mourning and grieving and fasting, they'd put on ashes on their face. And they'd wear sackcloth. And the prophet was saying, there's coming a time when the Spirit of God shall come to bring about a change in that circumstance. And Christ is saying when He came, now is the day for that to be fulfilled, where the Spirit of God will take away that the grieving, take away that ashes from off your forehead and give you a crown of beauty There's something the anointing of God does to us. It takes away the grieving and gives us the beauty of the Lord to be at work in our lives. And it talks about the oil of gladness, the anointing of joy, the semen of joy for the spirit of mourning. And then it talks about a garment. You know, there's anointing we cup on people like clothes. You can feel it sometime. A garment of praise to replace the spirit of heaviness, the spirit of despair, the spirit of depression. So many times when the Spirit of God comes upon people, there's a rejoicing that they experience. There's a freedom that comes into their lives. The anointing, when it is present, you can lay hold of what God has for you without anyone really having to pray for you. You know, in the life of Christ, as he went around ministering, people sensed the very presence, the very power of God. Scripture talks about power going out from him. You look like you don't believe me. Let's turn to Mark's Gospel. Mark chapter 3. I read three scriptures in Mark. Mark chapter 3 and verse 10. For he had healed many, that's Jesus, so that those with diseases were pushing forward to touch him. You were like, something is happening here in this man. If I could only just touch him. So this was happening, and the word must have spread. And so that's why in Mark chapter 5 now, Mark chapter 5 and verse 27, talking about the woman with the issue of blood. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. I don't need for him to say a prayer. I don't need for him to do anything. I just need to touch him. Verse 29, immediately her bleeding stopped and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. Verse 30, at once, Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. Something he realized, that someone had laid hold of the anointing. He turned around to the crowd and asked, who touched my clothes? And you all know the rest. The disciples were like, what are you talking about, Lord? All these people are touching you. But they weren't touching him with faith. You see? So you can be here in the very presence of God, the Spirit of God moving, and you come in and leave the same way. Rather than laying hold of the very presence of God and receive what God has in store for you. Mark chapter 6 and verse 12. They went out and preached. No, that's not what I want. Mark chapter 6 and verse 56. And wherever he went into the villages, towns, or countryside, they placed the sick in the marketplaces. They begged him to let them touch even the edge of his cloak. And all who touched him were healed. So the people start to realize that there's anointing there. And they're like, I'm going to lay hold and get my healing. I don't need for him to stop and pray. I just want to get close enough to touch. Many of you heard Bud's testimony some weeks back. How he came in here and he started to feel so sick. Feel as if he was going to faint. And he looked across and he saw Sister Judy in the presence of God, worshiping, and the presence of God all over her. So the Lord said to him, go and lay hands on her. And he went and laid hands on her, and he got healed. We're talking about the anointing. You see? Sensing when the presence of God is there. And said, this is my moment. I'm not going to allow it to pass. I'm not going to allow myself to sit there passively. I'm going to actively get engaged. My wife and I were at a conference end of October. Conference called Voice of the Apostles. And we saw people get healed just by being in the atmosphere. We saw people get healed just by watching the testimonies of others. They were encouraged as you watch his testimony. If you have any illness similar to this, just lay hold of your healing. And after they start playing the clip, they said, how many of you have been healed? People healed all over the place. Just by laying hold of the very presence of God. Friends, I believe God is taking his church into a new way of understanding. A new way of functioning. To realize that the anointing, you know, thank God for the goosebumps and thank God for the nice feeling. But it's for more than that. And we can press in and get more. So put here that the Spirit of the Lord can be spiritually discerned, his presence. You can spiritually sense it. And many people have come here and have said it to us. We will sense the presence of God. And when the presence of God is here, as we said earlier, we sang it earlier, the Spirit of the Lord here is here, we sang it, and then we went on to say, a miracle can happen now. Because the Spirit of the Lord is here. You see, that was what was happening, why in early church people started to bring their sick just to be under the shadow of Peter. There was sense in that the anointing is there if I can just get close enough. A miracle can occur. I mean, the scripture talks about some stuff that I'm just left marveling. In Acts chapter 19, it talks about the Apostle Paul. Acts 19 verse 11. It says, God did extraordinary miracles through Paul. And I'm thinking, Lord, I just want some of the ordinary ones. So when you think that you have tapped into it, God is like, no, you don't see anything yet. So much so it says in Acts 19 verse 12, so that even handkerchiefs and aprons that had touched him were taken to the sick and their illnesses were cured and evil spirits left them. That's what I'm saying, saints. That Paul reached a place in his walk with God. And the people realized it, that they'd bring handkerchiefs and aprons to touch the Apostle Paul. And take it back to their demonized people. And God would honor their faith. And people would be set free. Because of the presence of God, because of the anointing of God, because of God's faithfulness to his people. So we need to encourage one another and lift our faith higher and believe God for more. I know some of you have been doing that. You have loved ones and children at home and you anoint their pillows and stuff. Believe in God to set them free. Believe in God to intervene in their lives and in their circumstances. But keep pressing in. I'll just share for a few more minutes. Talk about a little bit about the corporate anointing. I put here in my notes that the corporate anointing can impact anyone. And the example we have is the example of King Saul. When Samuel said to him, when you leave here, you're going to meet a group of the prophets coming down. And they're going to be in this atmosphere of worship. And when you come amongst them, the Spirit of the Lord is going to come upon you. And you're going to be changed. And Saul went and the Spirit of God came upon him and he started to prophesy. People were like, is Saul also amongst the prophets? And he was changed because his heart at that time was still tender before the Lord. So you can be in the atmosphere of the Spirit of God. And if you have the tender heart, God will work in you and through you. Now the sad thing for Saul is that later on his heart got so hardened when he was seeking to kill David that he came again amongst the same prophets and again the Spirit of God touched him, but he wasn't changed this time because his heart was hardened. But I want us to see, friends, that that things can happen in the corporate setting, in the corporate anointing. That I can't, explain to you in logical terms. All I can say is that when the Spirit of God is there, don't just sit passively, but lay hold of Him. Bring your situations to Him. I'm going to ask Pastor Sean to come back and have one very key scripture to share with us. People can receive their miracles and worship is enhanced. Actually, it's two scriptures I have. The first one is 1 Corinthians chapter 5. First Corinthians chapter 5 and verses 4 and 5. Paul is writing to Corinthians and says, when you are assembled in the name of the Lord Jesus, and I'm with you in spirit, and what else? And the power of our Lord Jesus is present. So when these people get together, it's not just a little. No, he's saying when you are gathered together in the name of the Lord Jesus, and I'm present with you in the spirit, and the power of the Lord is present, then do this thing. Verse 5. Hand this man over to Satan so that the sinful nature may be destroyed and the spirit may be saved on the day of the Lord. In other words, there are some things you can decree and you can declare and you can pronounce in the corporate anointing that will cause change and things to happen. I mean, he didn't just say, well, let's hand him over to Satan. No, he says, when you have this atmosphere, and you people agree together, and the power of God is present, the anointing of God is present, this man, something's going to happen to him. There are many circumstances you and I are praying for and believing for, but I believe in the corporate anointing, when the power of God is present, if we can agree and declare some stuff, things will change. That's why the psalmist says now in Psalm 149. Psalm 149 and verse 5, it says, let the saints rejoice in his honor. Sing for joy on their beds. May the praise of God be in their mouths and a double-edged sword in their hands to inflict vengeance on the nations and punishment on the peoples, to bind their kings with fetters, their nobles with shackles of iron, to carry the sentence written against them. This is the glory of all his saints. Praise the Lord. Psalmist is saying, when you come together in that atmosphere of worship, in that atmosphere of praise, and the presence of God is there, the anointing of God is there, things can happen in the spiritual realm. You can decree and declare stuff in the spiritual realm that will impact your community, impact your family, impact your nation. Understand what I'm saying? When you get what I'm saying? That there's something about the corporate anointing. Something about the power of God being present. That is more than just me feeling good, which I like the feeling. But there are times when you and I need to discern. Lord, are there some situations that we need to speak to? Are there some circumstances? Are there some people here whose loved ones need to hear in the spiritual realm the word of the Lord being spoken to them to bring them back out of darkness into the light of God? Are there some wicked people in our nation that need to be separated apart so the devil can deal with them? Hello? Are there times when there should be some extraordinary miracles taking place in the midst of God's people because of the corporate anointing? Let us stand. I think that's what Jesus was saying to Peter when he says, I've given unto you the keys of the kingdom. And whatever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in the heavens. And whatever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in the heavens. I think Jesus was imagining an atmosphere where the corporate anointing is there, where the power of God is present, and the church decides to hear God's voice and to decree and declare what God wants to have decreed and declared, God's will and God's purposes.
For several weeks, and I sit back there and I'm like, now, and so just after this I'm like, okay, now's the time. For several weeks, and I told Tracy a little while ago, I see the enemy is just attacking God's girls in this house with infirmity, and I see it, like I see it in Alicia's family and Atisha's family, and I see, and I just, Tracy getting sick, and I just see this. The enemy is trying to attack God's girls in this house with a spirit of infirmity. And he reminded me that any time that he gets ready to do a great move of something, the enemy rises up in opposition. And so I just feel like God's saying, I'm getting ready to pour out healing on this people, these children here in this place. There's been an uprising of the spirit of infirmity on my girls in this body. But remember, before there's a great move of me, the enemy will bring opposition. Do not be distracted, like what Nathaniel said. Do not be distracted by this opposition, and after the move, the enemy will attack again. Don't lose faith. Stay focused on me. Believe what I promise, and believe what I do and what I did. And then as you were talking about the passage in Mark, I just saw in here the train of the garment of Jesus, and it was, we like, the fringe was around this place, but it was dripping with oil. And it's just covering this place, dripping with oil. And that's what we need to focus on. Look at Jesus and focus on his healing and just reach out and touch his garment.
I'm going to ask Bob and Kathy, Kim, if they'd come on up. If you have a need, responding to that prophetic word, come on up to any one of these folks and have them pray with you and for you. I also want to pray for Jordan. My wife will just come. Let's just pray for Jordan, and then those of you who have different needs, come up to these different ones and share your need. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for your promise to Jordan. Lord, a promise of healing. And so, Lord, right now, we release your healing virtue to flow from the crown of our head to the soles of our feet. Father, release your healing to flow into her hip and into her knee, into everything that is out of whack. Father, right now, we pray, Spirit of God, put everything back in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Holy Spirit, come. Come, Lord, you the healer. Come with your fire. Come, O God, with your power. Come, O God, with your anointing. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Lord, we thank you for doing it right now. Is it me? This one?
So we thank you, Lord, right now for healing and restoring in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus. Everything that's out of order, be aligned according to God's will and purposes. Pain be gone. Discomfort be gone. Muscles realign yourself. Bones realign yourself. Everything that's out of line, get back in place. In Jesus' name.
Won't you come?
Amen. So you guys can come on up, whatever needs you have. The anointing is here, the presence of God is here. And these folks will pray with you and believe God for breakthroughs. Caroline, you want to come up too? Come on inside, Kathy.
Spirit, come move over us. Come rest on us. Come rest on us. As the Spirit was moving over the water. Rest on us. Come down, Spirit, when you move, you make my heart pound. When you fill the room, you're here and I know you are moving. Come down, Spirit, when you move, you make my heart pound. When you fill the room, I know you're here. Fill us, Lord. Fill us, Lord. Fire and wind, come and do it again. Open up the gates, let heaven on in. Come rest on us. Come rest on us. Fire and wind, come and do it again. Open up the gates, let heaven on in. Come rest on us. Come rest on us. Fire and wind, come and do it again. Open up the gates, let heaven on in. Come rest on us. Come rest on us. Fire and wind, come and do it again. Open up the gates, let heaven on in. Come rest on us. Come rest on us. Fire and wind, come and do it again. Open up the gates, let heaven on in. Come rest on us. Oh, come down. Spirit, when you move, you make my heart pound. When you fill the room, you're here and I know you are moving. I'm here and I know you will fill me. Come down. Spirit, when you move, you make my heart pound. When you fill the room, you're here and I know you are moving. Oh, fire and wind, come and do it again. Open up the gates. Oh, fire and wind, come and do it again. Open up the gates. Fire and wind, come and do it again. Open up the gates, let heaven on in. Fire and wind, come and do it again. Oh, come down. Spirit, when you move, you make my heart pound. When you fill the room, you're here and I know you are moving. Come down, Spirit, when you move, you make my heart pound. When you fill the room, I'm here and I know you will fill me. I'm here, Lord. I'm here, Lord. I'm here, Lord. Fill me, fill me. You're here and I know you are moving. I'm here and I know you will fill me. You're here and I know you are moving. I'm here and I know you will fill me. Oh, fire and wind, come and do it again. Open up the gates, let heaven on in. Oh, fire and wind, come and do it again. Open up the gates, let heaven on in. Fire and wind, come and do it again. Open up the gates, come rest on us. Come rest on us. Fire and wind, come and do it again. Open up the gates, let heaven on in. Fire and wind, come and do it again. Open up the gates, let heaven on in. Fire and wind, come and do it again. Open up the gates, come rest on us. Come rest on us. Holy Spirit, come rest on us. You're all we want. You're all we want. Holy Spirit, come rest on us. You're all we want. You're all we want. Holy Spirit, come rest on us. You're all we want. You're all we want. Holy Spirit, come rest on us. You're all we want. You're all we want. Fire and wind, come and do it again. Open up the gates, let heaven on fire. Fire and wind, come and do it again. Open up the gates, let, one more time. Fire and wind, come and do it again. Open up the gates, let heaven on in. Come rest on us. Come rest on us. Come down. Spirit, when you move, you make my heart pound. When you fill the room, you're here and I know you are moving. Fill me.